Shalom uvrach rabbeisai. We're holding in Hilchas Tefillin Siman Chaf Zayin. And we're up to Sivov. And last night, Shkayach. And last night, we discussed Chatzitza between the Tefillin and between the body. In a normal situation, in a situation where somebody was very, very chilly and would be ill if they would take off their hoods and garments in order to put their tefillin on. And that was what we discussed last night. And tonight we continue Be'ezras Hashem, Siman Chaf Zayin, Sivov, which is the halachas of a left-handed person. So it says the Shulchan Aruch as follows. The Iter Yad Yominoi. This is the expression for a lefty, a left-handed person. If he does all of his work with his left hand, then he should put it on what for him is his left hand, which is the right hand of everybody else. You see, the Torah says it should be al yodecha, al yad keha, on your weak arm. So for a person whose strong arm is the right arm, they normally put it on the left. For him, this is a relative thing. He puts it on his weaker arm, which is his right arm, and the Shulchan Aruch calls that b'smoiloi, his left arm, which is what everybody else would call the right arm. So a lefty puts his tefillin on the right hand. Now, so far, so good. Yeah, it's very, very clear. If he's a left-handed person, he puts on his right hand. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'im shaylet b'shtei yodov, if he's ambidextrous, m'neach b'smael kol odom. So far, also so good. Yeah, that if he's he does everything he can do with his right hand and his left hand. So then, also he puts it on the left hand of everybody, which is also his left hand. They say about Rabbi Chaim Oizer, no, that he could write a tshuva with his right hand, write a tshuva with his left hand, and speak to somebody else to answer a shayla, you know, all at the same time. Huh? Oh, yeah, well, he also noticed. So yeah, that's sort of taking multitasking to a new level. So if a person is able to... Huh? Yeah, that would be handy. I don't know anybody else who can write effectively. You know anybody who can write effectively with both hands? Totally ambidextrous? Anyone? Ever met anyone? Huh?
We had a teacher in our school. Mr. Elman.
Really? Really? There you go. So there's such a thing.
Schwartz, Daniel Schwartz, a man, you know Chazan Schwartz from Edgeway Shore?
Yes.
His father, Daniel Schwartz, is a cipher, and he can write with left and right hand.
Shh!
Wow. That was slightly different.
What?
He had a stroke. He couldn't use one hand, but he learned to talk himself.
Wow.
That way didn't learn. Okay.
Amazing. So if he is totally ambidextrous, then also it's very, very clear. You do it the same way as a right-handed person does, which is to put it on the left hand. Let's already see the Mishnah Berurah here. It says the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkoton Chaf Aleph, V'Iter V'Chulu, V'Ayin Le'el, B'Sifkoton Yud Beis. Have a look above where we saw that if a left-handed person is borrowing a right-handed person's tefillin, or a right-handed person is borrowing a left-handed person's tefillin, the consensus was that you should turn the tefillin shel yad upside down in order to make sure that the yud, the knot of the yud, is always facing inside towards the body. So that's what he's referring to over there. Correct. But still, that even though he brought in the Birah Halacha, there is a shita that says the other way is also fine, he concluded it's better to turn it upside down. Okay, continues the Mishnah Berurah Sifkoton Chaf Beis. Yad Yeminoi. So if he's a lefty, v'iter yad yeminoi. V'afilu nasi iter al yedei shehirgal atzmoi achar kach v'loi noilat kach. Even if the person became a lefty themselves, really they were born as a righty, and for some reason they always wanted to be, they decided they would be beneficial for them if they taught themselves, and they became a lefty, and they had a stronger left hand afterwards, still, yaniach biyamin, so then he should put it on the right hand. V'cholshkein im min hashomayim hirgiluhu. All the more so if this was min hashomayim when the person was born, that this was the way that he was accustomed to do. D'hainu shenoled loy choyli biyaminoy v'nitzal hakoyach mimenu. Sorry, another thing, yeah? Not only if he is born that way, not only if he became an iter by training himself, and also if min hashomayim they trained him. Dahainu shenoled loy choyli biyaminoy nebuch, he got some sort of a sickness on his right hand, v'nitzal hakoyach mimenu, and he lost his power from the right hand. Aishanigdalei kaf yodei hayamonis, or he unfortunately lost his right hand, Rachmono Litzlon, but Tzorach Lasis Kol Malachtei Bismoil, and he trained himself to do all of the things with the left. But Vadai Dinei Ki Itzer Gomor, now that he is left-handed, then he achieves the status of a proper lefty, V'yoniach Alayat HaRetzutzo, and so he should put it on his right hand, which in this case was the hand which unfortunately he lost. He puts it on his right arm. If afterwards he is then able to write with both hands again, or has strength in both arms, so then he would do like a regular person, which is to put it on their left hand, like most people do. Okay, so if he's a lefty and he does kaf gimel kol malachtoy, hu hadin afilu rak roiv malachtoy, even if he just does a majority of the things with his left hand, then he's considered a lefty. So in all of these things, he will put it on his own weaker hand, which is the right hand, menech bismoyloi, on his own relative weaker hand. V'minicho b'yaminoi shu smel kol adam af b'dyeved lo yotzo. So says the Mishnah Berurah that if a lefty does wear it on their left arm, the way that most right-handed people do, or vice versa, they haven't actually fulfilled the mitzvah. Even b'di'eved, they haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. So it has to be on the correct, I was going to say on the right hand over here, but it has to be on the correct arm. And this is le'ikuvo. Why? Because it says yodcho on your hand, yod keho on the weaker arm. And therefore, this is something that even b'di'eved, a person hasn't fulfilled the obligation. V'ayim b'bir halocha, have a look in the bir halocha, where he brings the whole discussion from the Baal Ha'itur, that there is a shita that says that if you do put it on the wrong arm, you have fulfilled your obligation, but the bir halocha doesn't really like that, and he holds the same way as he said over here, that even b'di'eved it hasn't worked.
The person writes with his left hand, and his right hand is
stronger. Oh, that is the question. And that is such a big question, and that is now the next case, the next scenario in the Shulchan Aruch. So, second line down, yeah? They're preparing ahead. So, in case of Biyaminoy, if he writes with his right hand, Ushar Kol Mas of Oysa Bismoyloy, however, he does other things with his left hand. It could be he throws a ball or catches a ball, yeah, or throws a punch or whatever it is. He does a majority of his things with his left hand. So how do you view someone like that? Or the other way around, a case of bismoil, or it could be he writes with his left, or sharkol masav oisa biyamin, but the rest of his actions he does with his right hand. How do you view such a person? So there's a machloikus. The first jitta, yesh oimrim, shioniach tfilin b'yad shetash koyach, the b'inin yad keho. So the first opinion, the Rosh, B'Shem D'Bala Truma, says that you put it on the weaker hand. You go after the weak hand. You don't go after what hand you write with. You go after the weaker hand because it says Yodcho, Yod Keho, right? Which is the softer hand, the lighter hand, the weaker hand. So you just go after the one which is the weaker hand. You do if you do a majority with your left, then you're considered a lefty. If you do a majority with your right, then you're considered a righty. V'yeshayimim, know that we don't go after a majority, what do you do, Rav Malachtoy? Shayat shekosef bo hi chashuv yomin le'inyan zeh. That you always get, the second opinion says that you always go after and this is Rabbeinu Yechiel, that you always go after the hand that you write with. Omeniach tefillin b'yad shekanegdo. So whichever hand you write with, you put it on the other side, hagov v'hochi nohug, and this is the way that we are accustomed. So two shittas, whether you write with one hand and your other arm is a stronger hand, the first shitta says you go after the one that you do a majority of the work with, that's considered your strong hand, and the other one says no, whichever one you write with, and the Ramor goes with a second opinion. Now, in these sorts of issues, generally, what's the shit of the Shulchan Aruch? Yeah, what does the Shulchan Aruch hold? He brings two shittas. So normally there's a principle that the first one here is Yesh Oimrim. Yesh Oimrim, that you go by the weaker hand. And then he says, v'yesh omrim, that you go by the hand that you write. Whenever you have two yesh omrims, generally speaking, you go after the second one. And that's a mesorah that we have in the shit of the Shulchan Aruch. So for Sfardim, generally speaking, they would go after the second yesh omrim over here, which is you go after the hand that you write with. And that is the same over here as the Ramah, who also says v'hochi nohug. But it's not so straightforward. Let's have a look in the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Chafei Shoyle Bishtei Yodov. Rod Salomar, Sha'ose Kol Amalochus Bishnehen, Shove Beshove. Sorry, this is right. This is still going on the previous scenario, isn't it? Yeah? That if he's totally ambidextrous, that he does both of, he can do everything with both hands. Avlim Nokele Lassis Bismoil. However, if he can do everything with both hands, but it's easier for him to be a lefty, even though he could do it with the right hand as well, yeah, if you're real ambidextrous, where you're considered like a righty, is only if it's really 50-50. If, however, mainly he's a lefty, he can just do everything with the right as well, we still say, I'm sorry, you're a lefty. He's still considered a lefty over here. Okay, chavov, Shetoshkayach. So if you have, he writes with one hand, but he does majority of things with the other hand. So the first opinion says you put it on the weaker arm. Rotzo loymar de kasiva elo shumale mishar malo yachidis. Though we don't take any precedence over the fact that he can write with one arm. We go after what is his stronger arm that he does the majority of his things with. Vazlina boso reva masin vianik rismol. You go after what he does the majority of of his actions with, and that is considered over here the smoil. You go after what is the majority. I'm not sure why he says v'hi hanikre smoil. Yeah, smoil is normally what's referred to as the weaker arm over here. I'm just not sure why he says that. He says the first chitta is you go after, right, it must be you go after roiv hamasim. Yeah, if you do Rav Hamasim with one hand, then the other hand is considered the smoil, the other hand is considered the weaker hand. Yeah, so everybody clear? The first chitta, you go after what you do a majority of the things with. Then the next Chavzayin, right, is the second opinion, and that says that we go after which hand you write with. Why? Chashuv yamin dechsev okashartem v'chasavtom. Sorry, okasharatum uchasavtom. The posuk in the Shema juxtaposes tefillin and mezuzah. So the tying and the writing, mashma de ba'osa yad shekosev bo, which implies that the hand that you use to write with, zorach likshar esat tefillin, aliyad shekanegdo, you use to tie the tefillin on the opposite hand. Mihu, right, however, kushalei noilad kein, where he wasn't born having this, being in this situation where one hand is stronger than the other hand he writes with. Afterwards, he taught himself that he would write with the left and do the other actions with his right. So then we say, well, he's really considered a righty over here. He should write it, he should put his tefillin on everybody's left hand. So this principle over here, that if you're 50-50, you write with one arm, and you do majority with the other arm, is only if you're born that way. V'odom she'en yochel lichtoiv, a person who isn't able to write, then the kula alma bosar, ozlina bosar shar malochus, be'eziyad she'oysa, oysom nikriyamin, then you go after whichever hand is has the majority, that he does a majority of his malachas with. That's if a person doesn't write. V'hochi nohuk, I am b'ber halacha. Have a look in the ber halacha. So there are some discussions over here in the ber halacha. There's it's quite a long ber halacha. There's another shitta of the Bach. He says, really, it comes down like this, yeah? The first shitta says you go after power. And this first shitta, the Vilna Goyin actually holds like this first shitta, even though I've just told you the Ramah says v'hochi nohuk, that we go after strength, sorry, that we go after writing, yeah? The first shitta says you go after power, second shitta says you go after writing. Who holds like the first shitta, that you go after power? Actually, the Vilna Goyin does. And the Mishnah Berurah brings this in the Bir Halacha, that the Gro Hichzik Lagamri Kadei Rishona, he says definitely you go like the first opinion, which is it goes after power. Who says you go after the writing? The second opinion, And that's the Ramah and the Pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch. And then in the Bir Halach, he brings a Bach who says that if who learns this completely differently and says that if you either do a majority of your actions or you write with the right hand, then you're considered a righty. If somebody would ask me what to do, and they would say, what shall I do? I write with one hand and I do Rov Malocha with the other hand, I would say the Pashtus is to follow the Mishnah, the Ramah over here. And especially because the Mishnah Brura doesn't really help us so much over here in telling us which one. He just says, V'hochinog, I'm Bira Halocha. So in the Mishnah Brura himself, he just sort of follows the Ramah. And the Ramah seems to say, you go like the second opinion, which is you go by the writing. Yeah, whichever one you write with, that is what you should do. But I do know as a particular person, a choshev Magid Shir in Golders Green, and I was sitting next to him once in Shachris, and I saw in the middle of Shachris, he puts tefillin on the other arm. And I don't know who his Meir HaRoah is, but I'm sure it was a very choshev Pesach. And he told him that because with him it's like a big shaila, which way to go. I'm not sure if it's because he's choshish to the Ramah and the Vilna Gaon over here, or whether because this person himself, it's not so clear which hand is his stronger hand. He actually every morning puts on tefillin on both arms. And that is really, really SDRF, super duper real from a make sure you cover all base. He doesn't use his foot on his legs, but, so you know, not every place he could, but he puts it on both arms. But that would be quite rare. I'd say the Pashtus over here, the Pashtus is that if a person does have this situation, then they would put it on like the second opinion, which is on the one which he writes with. Yeah? I don't think he makes a brocha again. Don't think so. Yeah, like Rabbeinu Tam, he would make. I don't think he makes a brocha because then one of them would be a brocha of Atala. I'm not sure if it's a Gemara in Menachos where lots of these come from. Pashtus, the fact that the first shitta does not go like this, it could be it's this Rabbeinu Yechiel himself. Pashtus, it's in the Rabbeinu Yechiel. Rabbeinu Yechiel is quoting the Ber HaGoyla, Oiskaf, as the source for this second shitta. So that's probably it's probably his own drosha, because otherwise, why is it the first shitta disagrees with it? Okay, moving on. Next case. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Aval pi sheish l'odam maka b'mkeim hanochas tefillin. Even if a person would have some sort of a wound in the place where they put their tefillin on, still yoneach tefillin, they should put it on. Ki mokim yesh b'Israel yoneach shtei tefillin, because there is enough room in your forearm to actually put on two pairs of tefillin. So even if there's a maka in the place that you normally put it, there is a wide area which would be considered kosher for putting your tefillin on. Ki ho'etzem hasomuch lebeis hashechi, because the upper arm, anybody know what this is called? The fibula or the tibula, one of them, the upper arm next to the armpit. That's the muscle, right? So this bone, ha'etam asomach lebeis hashechi, the bone which is near your armpit, mechetzi atakivodoy, from halfway down it until the elbow, hu mokum hanochas tefillin. Right, that you have the place from the from halfway down the bone until the actual elbow is acceptable to put tefillin on. It doesn't have to be exactly like the shel rosh, has to be exactly bein einechem. It has to be very, very yekish, the shel rosh. With the arm, there is a bit of leeway over here. Says the Mishnah Berurah, chavtes atakivodoy, you've got from halfway down the upper arm, down until the elbow. Rod Soloimar, b'bos ha'tafuach, on the muscle, asher letzat ha'kevodoy, which is going towards the elbow, v'lo ha'kevodoy mamish, you shouldn't put it all the way down, literally onto the elbow. It shouldn't be mamish touching the elbow. So that's what he says over here. It's from midway until close to the elbow. V'im nispashet hamako b'chol bosor hatzafuach asher letzatak ivodoy. What happens if this wound is going all the way from midway down this upper arm, all the way until the elbow? Yuchal lismeich al das hamekilin lehoniach b'bosor hatzafuach asher b'chatzi ha'elyoin shel etzem. You can rely, says the Chaya Odom, on other shittas, and those shittas say that even the top part of this bone from the literally from the almost from the shoulder and going downwards, this top half is also acceptable, but that would only be if they're not able to put it anywhere lower. And then he says, "V'im hamaka gadoila umitztayer ba'anochas tefillin," which somebody asked me a shayla once, that they had a real big wound going all the way on their upper arm, and there was no room all the way from the shoulder basically down to the elbow. Potam elonyach tefillin shel yad afilu nishalei mokum. Right, that'd be a similar example over here, right? Even if there is some space, yeah, but it still hurts him. He's got a makkah, but it still hurts him if he'd put it on, even if there would be a little bit of a space. So, or in the case of the burn, Rachmon Lisson Vionech Shal Resh Levatz, he should just put on the Tfilin Shal Resh Kulel Basim Nechavov, Ayin Shom, what to do, Vaimashakasan Basif Hei Basif Kotin Yod Ches. If a person just has a Tfilin Shal Yad or a Tfilin Shal Rosh, so then they put on just the one that they're able to put on. So, when you put on the tefillin in the morning, it's actually 8 mitzvahs aseh. It's a very yidden-like value for money, right? They're like value for mitzvah, since there are 4 parshias, and in each parsha, it speaks about the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. Therefore, that's counted that every time a person puts on their tefillin, they get 8 mitzvahs aseh, 4 for the arm and 4 for the head. And if they are unable to put either on the shel yad or on the shel rosh, so then they just do the one that they can, and that's acceptable over here. Right. Yeah. Right. So no, and he mentioned it beforehand as well, a little bit earlier, that there's no value on putting it on the wrong arm. Yeah, to put it on top of a bandage, he says that one can. Yeah, but not on the wrong arm. There's an interesting scenario over here, which he mentions in footnote 30, which is a person who has big tattoos, if they have ksevas kaka, and on their appropriate arm, they have this huge tattoo, and it's they're very embarrassed about it, and they're unable to get rid of it. So he brings a minchas yitzchok in chelek gimel simon yod aleph, that even though it's maguna, to put the tefillin on it, even though it's not so nice that you're putting the tefillin, on top of this tattoo, nevertheless, he still has to put it in the appropriate place. So if he's a right-handed person and he's got a big, I love mum tattooed on his left bicep, still he has to put the tefillin there because this is the halachic place that he's supposed to put it. And because the forearm, as we've seen in this halacha, some leeway exactly where you're able to put it, so then he would be able to, make it a little bit higher, a little bit lower, if absolutely necessary. And he discusses, even having sort of a bit of material over there, just leaving the actual space for the shel yad open, so that when you have your tefillin on, the other people, won't see you putting it on. So when it comes to mitzvahs,
he has
Yeah, I suppose there comes a point that it's called Einus Rachmono Patre. Yeah? Meaning there's with sukkah, even if it's a little bit of tzar, you're allowed to. But I think if it would say mitzar harbe, yeah, then it would be begeder onus. You're asking that surely it's not an onus over here, it would just cause him pain. It's a very good kasha. It's a good thing it's time for Mariv. It's a very, 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 very good kasha. Why is it? Blined, I'll try and look into it. Shkayach.